T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I hate to be rude, it leads me to Mayor Stoney, LeVar Stoney. And yesterday I had an opportunity to talk to him. On the one hand, I appreciate the fact that the guy's man enough to come on the radio to what he knows will be a hostile interview. I respect that he's willing to have the conversation. I think maybe it's just ego on his part that he thinks he's untouchable. I don't know. But I do appreciate that he came on the air. But yesterday in my interview, I said, Mr. Mayor, this has been 6 months of the pandemic. You've kept the city closed. And in just the last 3.5 months, Richmond, Virginia has gone down the toilet. It's not the same city it was back in May. And then he tried to deflect and go off and criticize Donald Trump, saying, I guess he's blaming Donald Trump for all of this violence. I'm not blaming, be honest with you, I'm not blaming Mayor Stoney for the violence. I'm blaming him for his lack of response, appropriate response to the violence. That's where the problem is. Well, there are a bunch of people running for mayor this year, and we talked to Kim Gray, who's a member of city council. She's running against Mayor Stoney. Today, Justin Griffin, who is a local attorney, who's been on a couple of times, he is another candidate running for mayor. And Justin Griffin, I appreciate you coming on today. Did you hear that interview with Mayor Stoney yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Tell me your reaction to some of the issues that I raised with him. I've got a clip that I want to play to you, but what was your reaction to what he had to say?
Yeah, so I guess specifically thinking about the second half of the interview where you talked about the riots and the protests and things like that, since it's become, again, relevant after last night,
yeah,
is the biggest thing that stood out to me was his takeaway and his justification for his emergency actions to take down the statues and saying that after he took them down, there were 21 days of peace. And so he justified, giving the money to a donor and doing it quickly, but then couldn't answer your question about how he took a pause over the 4th of July weekend and if it was really that big of an emergency. To me, it was just more of his weakness and waffling and trying to make excuses for failure. He has failed us in every single category of leadership in this city, whether it's these riots or schools or infrastructure or city services, and all he does is make excuses, and it's pathetic. And yeah, the idea that there were 21 days of peace.
I said to him, let's go check the police blotter, because I don't, forgive me, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think we've had 21 days without a violent protest. I'm not talking about somebody standing on the corner with a candle singing a song. I'm talking about a violent protest in which windows are getting broken. And I don't think I'm making that up, that we have not had 3 solid weeks without that happening since the summer started. I don't know what world he's living in or what his definition is.
I think he's probably defining it much different than I would, at least. I mean, yeah, because throughout this entire time, there have been people living out on Monument Avenue and playing music at all hours of the night. And I've had people that I've talked to, there was somebody who's had $5,000 worth of damage done to her home. These people are having to look out their windows in the morning and see, 9 a.m., the people that are living out in the medians yelling at each other, pointing guns at each other, threatening to shoot each other. And yeah, people are having to realize, hey, if they start shooting the crossfire, that's coming through my window. To me, that's not peace. People marching at midnight that's not peaceful, and that's not peace. It just goes to this narrative that this has been mostly peaceful. And instead of calling out the bad actors and taking action against the bad actors to put a stop to this, we, for some reason, keep making excuses.
Yeah, including allowing late night marches last night. I mean, at some point, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out the equation here. Late night marches, angry people means property destroyed, innocent citizens impacted, if not, you know, attacked, certainly negatively impacted. I don't know why we continue to allow that to happen. The point of having him on yesterday was to talk about this surplus that he claims of over $13 million in the city. And I tried to press him to say, now, let me make sure I understand this. This isn't just fantasy money on the books. We've moved the numbers around and wow, we've got a surplus, that it's money in the bank. And if I understood him correctly, he's claiming there is a $13 million surplus of cash on hand. If I understood him correctly, what is your understanding? That's hard for me to imagine that that's true.
Yeah, so on this point, it honestly doesn't surprise me that there would be a surplus, because we're talking about fiscal year 2020 that ended on June 30th. I'm much more worried about 2021, that it started on July 1, and we're losing all our businesses and the economic activity for a much longer period of time. But if you look at the Richmond budget, like all government budgets, they are full of waste and fluff that if you put in even the minimal amount of effort, you're going to have some savings. Because, you know, I once spent some time working for the state government, and I saw the agency head running around at the end of the fiscal year buying a bunch of stuff that we didn't need just so he could spend his budget. So he said, if we didn't spend it, they'll cut it. There's always these end of the year shopping sprees, and you know, I'd imagine Richmond's probably worse than anybody. And so, if you cut the discretionary spending at the end, you're going to see millions in savings. And you know, I don't think he fully knew what he was talking about, because he kept talking about the 30 million or some odd number that he cut. I think he was talking about fiscal year 2021, not the one that just ended. And ultimately, my two takeaways are, if you know this is completely accurate, Richmond has been known for accounting problems. Mm-hmm. So if this is completely accurate, then there is a ton that could easily be cut from the budget, something Mayor Stoney said has been impossible up to this point. And second, more importantly, is his priorities for what to do with this money. They're all wrong. His first instinct is he wants to do what he called a health equity study, some meaningless gesture, and it'll just go on a shelf. They'll do nothing with it. It'll help no one. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had a political donor lined up to do it for him. And what I would be doing is, to, in the short term, using this money to clean up the city that he's allowed people to destroy. And to, for example, that homeowner I was talking about that's had thousands of dollars worth of damage done to her own, I would love to see her made whole, because the city failed in protecting her. And we have to restore order and confidence in the city if we're going to save it. And part of that is cleaning it up. But in the long term, I'd be looking at permanently cutting all of this from the budget so that we could lower our taxes and water rates here in the city.
Very interesting perspective on it. I did have a couple of people email me after the interview and said, you should have asked him why, if you've got so much money, you've let the city sit with this graffiti and vandalism so obvious to anybody who's passing through town, you know, probably driving people away. And you're right, there's priority issues. That's important. Next chance I get to talk to him, I will ask him about that. I appreciate your perspective on it. And I'm about to run out of time, but I got to ask you, there was an article in the Times-Dispatch about fundraising, and I hate it, but it's the truth. You know, money is important. If you're in politics, you got to be able to get on the radio, get on TV, go out and meet people. Are you able to compete? You know, I think Kim Gray has raised some money. The mayor clearly has his political friends. He's raised money. How are you doing in this race?
Yeah, so, you know, if you look at the numbers, obviously we don't have as much money as anybody else, because right, I'm not a part of the political machine here in Richmond. So we're doing it on a much you know, $10, $20 clip at a time. They're getting $1,000 donations at a time. But I think we're hanging right in there with everybody else, even with a lower budget, because I come from a business background. I know how to advertise. I know how to work social media. We are getting the name recognition and getting the message out there just as much as anybody, because like you see with people like Mayor Stoney and Councilwoman Gray, you can look how they're spending their money, and that's how they're going to spend your money once they get into office. It's like, you know, Councilwoman Gray, they bought an iPhone and a bunch of food, and they have staff and consultants. You know, the same kind of thing with Mayor Stoney. He spent over $100,000 on staff and consultants. I'm using all my money to reach people, and we've got a ground game going. We're out there doing the hard work, going door to door, actually talking to people. So it's been effective, and we're seeing results from it. And also looking at where their money's coming from tells you a lot about, again, that they are just more of the status quo. Because like Councilwoman Gray, for example, one of her largest donors is Louis Salamansky, who went to jail for federal prison for bribing a city council member. So we're looking at doing things a different way so we can ultimately turn the Richmond city government upside down and fix things.
All right, well, we're going to talk to you again, I'm sure, as we get closer and closer to Election Day. Of course, early voting's happening, so I think it's important that we have you and the other candidates on the air to talk through these things. And I really do appreciate your time, you know, carving this out for us in the morning. Justin Griffin, the attorney who is running for mayor of Richmond in this election cycle here. Thank you, Justin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.